Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
Subprime proves subpar for British Bank.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. The British-based banking group HSBC has been hit by the slowdown in the U.S. housing market. The bank has warned that its provision for bad loans in 2006 will be higher than expected. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
HSBC is setting aside $10.5 billion to cover potential bad debts. That's 20% more than anticipated. The bank says problems in the U.S. housing market are mainly to blame. Homeowners are less able to refinance their loans because real estate prices are no longer rising in many parts of the country. The bank is heavily involved in the subprime mortgage business, but the scale of the bad debt provision is worrying, says Justin Urquhart-Stewart of the Seven Investment Fund.
This is at the lower end of the market, and so you'd expect to have a higher level of defaults in this particular area, but you don't expect it to jump up by this level.
Investors in Hong Kong and London were taken by surprise. HSBC shares fell 2.5%. The bank says, apart from its US mortgages, the rest of its global business performed in line with expectations. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The London-based internet radio site Last FM has a deal with Warner Music. Warner's entire catalog will become available to the 15 million-plus global listeners. When a person signs up with Last FM, they link their digital music player, like an iPod, to the site, which then scans their collection. That information is used to recommend other music, as well as creating personalized radio stations for other users who have similar tastes. With the exception of the NASDAQ, investors sort of stood pat on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow ended the way it began, ended the day the way it began, in other words, flat at 12,666. The NASDAQ climbed 19 points to 2490, and the S&P inched forward 2 points to 1450. Today, L.A. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa will announce a new effort to curb gang violence. L.A. is the world's epicenter for gang crime. There are more than 700 gangs and 40,000 members here. The mayor and police chief will unveil their strategy in Mission Hills, which saw a 160% spike in gang activity last year. But some business leaders question the approach. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler has more.
The mayor's plan will focus on gang suppression, specifically targeting the city's worst gangs. But civil rights attorney Connie Rice says law enforcement can only go so far.
Suppression alone isn't enough. After 30 years, we have six times as many gangs and twice as many gang members.
Rice just published a study analyzing the effectiveness of existing anti-gang programs. The report calls for more cross-agency coordination and a reevaluation of almost $1 billion tax dollars being spent now. That gets the support of Gary Tobin, CEO of the Los Angeles Area Chamber of Commerce.
Just throwing more money at the problem is not going to be the solution. Being smarter about how we deal with the problem is an essential first step.
The mayor's office says the plan will ultimately include more than just gang suppression. Strategies will be unveiled in the months to come. No word yet on how the mayor plans to pay for any of it. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrive and Financial for Lutherans, working with Habitat for Humanity to build over 350 homes this year with families in need. On the web at thriveandbuilds.com. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
Most of us shop hard for big ticket items like a car, but then we don't bargain hunt for something that involves a lot more money. An investment portfolio can cost hundreds of thousands of dollars over a lifetime. Yet, when it's time to buy products like mutual funds, we don't shop around. Steve Tripoli has some new findings about our money behavior that could save big bucks.
Why do so many people buy mutual funds that charge high fees? Three researchers in behavioral economics couldn't figure it out. So they took a bunch of financially savvy graduate students from the University of Pennsylvania's elite Wharton Business School. The students were given a hypothetical $10,000. They also got prospectuses describing four index mutual funds that track the S&P 500. They were told to invest that $10,000 however they liked among those four funds. And guess what?
only a very small fraction of students picked the lowest fee portfolio, which would, of course, be the sensible thing to do in this case.
Sensible because one S&P 500 index fund has pretty much the same investment return as any other. That's why the researchers, including Bridget Madrian of Harvard, who you just heard, used index funds in the study. But investment returns aren't the only way to measure a fund's gains over time. Fees for these funds ranged from $309 in the first year to $589. That info was included in the students' prospectuses. Yet almost all of them failed to stick all their money in the lowest cost fund. Again, Bridget Madrian.
One conclusion is that investors don't know what information is most salient in making an asset allocation decision.
The researchers thought. Maybe the prospectuses were too long or too confusing. So they tried again. But this time, each student got a one-page cheat sheet where all the fees were in large, bold numbers. Over 80% still didn't go for the lowest cost fund. Harvard's David Labson is another of the researchers.
If Wharton MBA students don't understand this on something as simple as an index fund, we've got to worry more broadly about the general public's understanding of the financial products that they're buying, particularly when those products get more complex than an index fund.
If you're paying even an extra 1% a year in mutual fund fees, that can knock your final retirement kitty down by 30, 40, even 50%. Labson says one problem is that most mutual fund ads don't talk about fees. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
Finally, why did the New Yorker cross the road? Well, let's put that another way. A New York State senator wants to slap a $100 fine on anyone crossing the street while distracted by an iPod, a cell phone, a BlackBerry, anything like that. Siva Vaidyanathan is an associate professor of culture and communications at New York University.
I think if the state Senate were to pass this bill, New Yorkers would be in danger from the constant rolling of their eyes in disbelief that this is actually one of the greatest problems facing Brooklyn or the state of New York.
Even the state senator admits to being, well, a little guilty of doing this himself. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
You hear a lot.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.